This is a story that John Johnson told me many years ago. You may have heard it before. John's been gone a while now, and I do miss him. I hope you like his stories as much as I do. This is the story of how the wine business got started right here in the Cooley region. I can't swear as to its veracity. All I can say is that the man who told it to me, John Johnson, well, he sure believed it was true. It all got started over by Viola, and was begun mainly by Italian families. The most prominent family of them all was the Verdis. Yep, same name as the composer. Verdi means green in Italian, and there were a whole lot of them, well, being Catholics and all. The year was 1901. It was John's Uncle Lars who knew the Verdis, worked in their vineyard for a while. That's how he knew the story. The Verdi clan brought their rootstock and winemaking knowledge with them when they came over from Europe in the 1890s. The youngest brother, Anthony, was actually trying to enlist in the Spanish-American War, but his older, wiser brothers hustled him away, far enough away from the recruiters and the hype that they all landed here in our neck of the woods. They went right to work, scraping off a few acres of a gentle southwest-facing slope, got their stock in the ground, posted and wired the vines, and went about the business of making what they called Vino Mondo Nuovo, New World wine. At first, things were kind of slow, what with the local taste running more to schnapps than to Chianti, but the neighbors became fond of standing at the base of Monteverde, watching the vintner's operation. It was a source of amusement for the locals to see barefooted, dark-haired folks taking turns in the large vats of ripened grapes, tramping them into juice. That's when the incident happened. One day, at the peak of the harvest stomp, one of those huge vats broke wide open. As soon as one stave came loose, the hoops gave way, and it was Katie bar the door. A purple avalanche rolled down the slope and pretty much enveloped anyone who wasn't quick enough to get out of the way. Which is a lesson that the rest of us should take note of. Never, never turn your back on a family in a vat. Well, by the time the barrel parts came to rest and the juice had run its course, there were a dozen or so formerly pale Norwegians who were pretty much dyed purple on the spot. The two Karlstadt girls were 100% purple, head to toe. Marty Madison was purple from the waist down, and Mary, his wife who had fallen to the ground, was stained in such a way that a vertical line ran from her feet to her hair. When she stood up, her left side was completely grape-colored, and her right side was the way it always was. She was two-toned. Now, as you know, wine stains are tenacious, especially when the juice is fresh from the crush with the stems and seeds and all. As for Mary and Marty, they were quite the sight walking away from the disaster, he with the horizontal and she with the vertical paint job. And those two little Karlstadt girls went to school purple for the next 2 weeks. Even after their milky white complexions returned, their formerly blonde hair held a bluish tint until it grew out completely many weeks later. Well, the Verdis took this liquid calamity as a bad omen. And rather than push their luck on the slopes of the Driftless, they decided to pull up stakes and try to make a go of it somewhere else. Besides, they were now convinced that the six-month winters they were experiencing were not flukes. What they hoped would be a new Tuscany seemed more like the old Norway. Beautiful to be sure, but a tad on the chilly side. To make their break final and complete, they changed the family name to Mondavi and moved to the Napa Valley in California. John lost track of them after that. I assured him that the Mondavis did just fine. I've told you the story precisely as John Johnson told it to me. No embellishment, no deletions. I'll share with you from time to time, with John's permission, some more of our local history. Depending on his mood, we'll hear about the snow tunnels of 1918 and the Viroqua canals of the following spring. Who knows? He may even tell us about those roaring 20s plans to straighten that Kickapoo River once and for all. Each and every one, a fascinating tale, and each one of them as true as can be expected.